Brothers and sisters, it is a blessing that we may come together for the second time today to join in worship of our Triune God. A particular welcome to all members, visitors and guests, also those who have joined us via live stream. May the preaching of the gospel direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ and cause us to live our lives to the praise of Him. Consistory has the following announcements. Consistory as elders only will meet the Lord willing on Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. in the consistory room. The profession of faith students are welcome at 7:30. The congregation is reminded that the worship service for next week Sunday morning for the public profession of faith will be held at Lumen Christi College in Marton, commencing at the usual time of 9:30 a.m. There are no restrictions next week, so all wards can attend. This afternoon, we may welcome Reverend Eichelbaum, minister of our sister church at Byford, to the pulpit. And before we commence the service, let us sing together from Psalm 107, verse 1.
Sisters, will you please rise to receive the greeting of the Lord? Let's lift up our hearts and let's confess together, our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. And He greets us. Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's praise the Lord by singing together Psalm 111, verse 1 and verse 2.
Thank you.
In Lord's Day 7 of our catechism, we confess that true faith is a sure knowledge whereby we accept as true all that God has revealed to us in his word. And at the same time, this true faith is a firm confidence that not only to others but also to us personally, God has granted forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation out of mere grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. This faith, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts by the gospel. Let's confess our faith in God and in his promises by singing hymn 1. To God and ask him for his blessing. Almighty God, Father in heaven, once again we come to you at the beginning of our worship service. And we come to you because where else could we go? Who else is there who loves us so much that he would sacrifice his one and only Son for us? Also as a guarantee for us, a guarantee that you would willingly give us everything, everything that was good for us. And who else is there who has the power that you have, the power to provide for us and to protect us like you can? Heavenly Father, you created all things. All things continue to exist by your power. This morning, through the preaching, you came to us with the promises of the gospel in order to move our hearts, in order to work in us a response of faith where we might trust you and look to you for everything that we need. And this afternoon, you called us again to worship you, and by the power of your Spirit, you have worked in us a willingness to respond to this call, a willingness to hear the promises of the gospel again, a willingness to seek and find salvation and joy and peace in you and in your promises. Dear Father, we pray for all the work that is done in your kingdom. Bless the preaching of the gospel wherever that is done faithfully. Bless the work of mission and evangelism. Bless also the work that we do here in Southern River as we try to communicate to our younger generation and also to the people around us what it means to belong to you. Father, we confess humbly that we struggle to do it well. We tell our children how it ought to be, but the next moment we do it differently ourselves. And when we get involved with conversations with our neighbours, we want to say something, or we feel that we ought to say something, but the words don't come at the right time. And it is only later, when we look back over the conversation, that we come to realise what we might have said and the solution to these problems, Father, is prayer. Give us your Spirit. Give us an abundance of your Spirit. And use us as individuals in our homes, at work, in our community, in our families. Use us so that the light of the gospel may shine brightly in this broken, dark world. Father, we pray again for the work of mission. Bless our mission workers in PNG, in Indonesia. Bless also the work that is being done to communicate the gospel to people in China. Father, we thank you that there seems to be a response to the gospel. It seems that you are blessing that work. And while we don't need that blessing, we don't need to see that our work is meeting with success. We find it encouraging, Father. And so we thank and praise you. Work in us all, that we may be encouraged and stimulated more and more to use all our talents for the glory of your name. We pray again for our theological seminary in Hamilton. Bless the work of our seminary. Give the professors what they need, that they may do their work faithfully. We pray that young men in our congregation as well may be encouraged and equipped for the task of preaching the gospel. We also pray for our governments, Father, local, state and federal. Give our leaders what they need so that they may do the task faithfully and so that we may remain free to worship you. Now bless us in this worship service. Teach us once more to understand what it means to pray that your name may be hallowed. And teach us not only to say words, Father, turn also our hearts. Grant that more and more it may be our desire to hallow your most holy name. Hear us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's take our Bibles and let's read together the first chapter, Genesis chapter 1. And we read this in connection with Lord's Day 47 of the Catechism, where the Lord Jesus taught us to pray the first petition, "Hallowed be your name." So in Genesis 1, we see what God does for the glory of his name. Genesis 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, 'Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters.' And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God saw that the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit tree bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. We now go to the New Testament. We read from Luke chapter 1. In Genesis 1, we read of the glory of God in creating the world. In Luke 1, Mary sings a song of praise for God's work of salvation, creating and saving. Luke 1 verse 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Before the preaching of the gospel, let's sing together Psalm 47, verse 1 and verse 3. Afternoon, I preach to you the Word of God as we confess it in Lord's Day 47 of our Catechism on page 561. Lord's Day 47, the Catechism asks, what is the first petition? Hallowed be your name. That is, grant us, first of all, that we may rightly know you and sanctify, glorify, and praise you in all your works, in which shine forth your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. Grant us also that we may so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that your name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honoured and praised. After the sermon, we'll respond by singing hymn 63, verse 1 and verse 2. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, about 20 years ago, there was an article in Reader's Digest about Mercedes-Benz, you know, the car. And that article told a story about a man in England who bought a new Mercedes. But after the warranty expired, His car started to give him problems. He contacted the company in Germany, told them his problem, but they refused to admit that there might be something wrong with the car. They said, impossible. But the next time the car had a regular service, some technicians flew from Germany to England and fixed the problem without putting anything on the bill. And then later, when the owner of the car contacted the company and asked what they had done, he was told nothing. The car didn't have a problem. And similar things happened with other customers. In some cases, the whole car was replaced at no cost to the owner. And in this way, Mercedes-Benz protected the reputation of their product. They wanted everyone to believe that a Mercedes is worth paying for because it's a good, reliable car. Mercedes was protecting the honour and reputation of their brand. And now protecting the honour and reputation of a brand, that is also the issue in Lord's Day 47 of our catechism. See, like Mercedes-Benz went to a lot of trouble to protect their reputation, God in heaven is also passionate about building for himself a reputation. God created the world. God created everything with breathtaking beauty. Why? So that his creatures might glorify him. Later, God destroyed the world in the flood. Why? Why? Because we, humankind, failed to glorify God. And then God sent the flood so that we might glorify him by repenting and by taking him seriously. God saved the Israelites from Egypt and brought them to Canaan. And above all, God sent his Son into the world and to the cross. God did all these things so that we might be impressed and we might glorify him. And do you know what it means to glorify God, brothers and sisters? We glorify God when we say, wow, wow. Lord's Day 47 explains what God is like and what God wants us to say, wow, about. God wants to be glorified for his power and wisdom, his goodness and righteousness, his mercy and truth. When the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray, hallowed be your name, that means Father in heaven. Every day, people look out of the windows or turn on the television. Every day, people look at the world that you created. And what are we thinking, Father? What are we saying? What are we doing? We pray, Father. We pray that in whatever we think, in whatever we say, in whatever we do, we pray that no one will ever blaspheme your name. We pray that everyone will always honour and praise and glorify your name. That is the first petition. And again, we honour and praise God's name when we say, wow. When we say how good, how great, how impressive he is. How impressive all his work is. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme. Pray that the name of God may always be holy. So pray that we may always confess the holiness of God's name. And pray that we may always increase the holiness of God's name. Pray that the name of God may always be holy. That means, in the first place, pray that we may always confess the holiness of God's name. Now, going through the catechism, starting in the beginning, hallowed be your name means first that we may rightly know God. Rightly. That word rightly indicates that there are different ways of knowing. For example, if I would ask you where you work, you could give me an address. And if I can find your house using your address, then in a sense I know where you work. On the other hand, if I would have to go to my car, if I would have to punch your address into my GPS first to find a place, then I don't really know where you live. I really know where you live when I can just drive straight there. That's knowing an address. But when we talk about knowing a person, that's a little bit more complicated. Girls and boys, high school students, imagine that you get a new teacher at school. In the first lesson, he writes his name on the whiteboard. So you know who he is. But a week later, you muck around in class and you get a detention. Ouch. Then you know a little bit more about how strict he is. A week later, an assignment that was due on Tuesday, you hand it in on Thursday. And if you lose marks, if your teacher takes off marks because it's late, then you're really getting to know your teacher. You know what's going to get you into trouble, and you know what you can get away with. And even more importantly, you know what is the most sensible way to behave in that teacher's class. And so we understand, brothers and sisters, it is possible to know our Bibles. It's possible to know every Lord's Day in our catechism, in Dutch and in English. It's possible to have it all up in here without really knowing God. Because just like really knowing a teacher at school means knowing what it takes to stay out of trouble, and also knowing what it takes to get good marks, so rightly knowing God. Rightly knowing God, that means knowing how we ought to live to receive his blessing. Rightly knowing God means knowing what it takes to receive God's blessing. The Apostle John says, if we rightly know God, then we have eternal life. John says this because if anyone knows God, he will try to think and speak and behave in such a way that he will receive God's blessing. On the other hand, anyone who thinks that pleasing God is not important does not rightly know God. And this means, brothers and sisters, the longer we live in this world, and the more we are influenced by the people of this world, the more urgently we need to pray this petition. After all, most people in Australia celebrate Christmas and eat hot cross buns at Easter. They know many stories from the Bible, so they imagine that they know God, but they really don't. That's obvious from the way they live. So, how is it with you, my brother, my sister? How well do you know God? Our young people come to the catechism classroom every week. Most of them learn the memory work every week. And when they get asked a question about Christian doctrine or about Christian lifestyle, we all know the right answer. But surely, surely, if a person were thirsty, if he would drink a bottle of poison, we would say that person doesn't know what he's drinking. Because if he did know, he would never drink it. Or if a person is playing with electricity, obviously he does not know the power of electricity. And in the same way, if we rightly know God, then our careers and our holidays and our friendships are not our highest priority. And then our material possessions are not the most important things in our lives. If we rightly know God, then we will take seriously his words of promise and his words of warning. If we rightly know God, then we will understand that God's blessing is the most important thing in our life. And that's why Jesus commanded us to pray, Father in heaven, our hearts are so corrupt. And so often we make excuses for our sinful choices. And we need to repent, but we don't take that seriously enough. No, Father, we don't take our sins seriously, because no one really takes sin seriously. So work in our hearts that we may believe, that we may believe that your word is the path that leads to eternal life. Grant that we may believe that obedience to you will always lead to blessing, while everything else will ultimately disappoint. Grant that we may believe all this, because believing all this is rightly knowing God. Yes, beloved congregation, rightly knowing God, that means rightly knowing what God has done, rightly understanding what God promises and what God requires. But the catechism goes on. It says we should sanctify, glorify and praise God in all his works, in which shine forth his almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy and truth. What the catechism says here is a confession of faith. A confession of faith about all God's works. The catechism says God has a number of qualities: power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy and truth. These are God's qualities. And now, says the catechism, in all of God's works, in everything that God does, all of God's qualities are shining forth. All these qualities of God shine forth. They are clearly visible in all of God's works. And this is difficult to believe, brothers and sisters. Imagine an art gallery. You walk into an art gallery and you see pieces of art everywhere. A landscape, a portrait, a photograph, all completely different. The one looks beautiful. Another one looks impressive. A third looks cute. But the fourth picture, you don't like that one. It looks revolting. But then you pick up the catalogue and you check the catalogue and you discover that all these works of art were made by the same artist. To your eye, they all look different. You cannot see any obvious similarities. Some look brilliant. Others are dull. Some have got fine lines, neat shapes. But others look like they were made by a 2-year-old who never held a pencil before in his life. But the catalogue tells you that they all come from the same artist. Now, the catechism says, now the world is such an art gallery, and every event that happens in this world is a piece of art. God is the artist who has made them all. An earthquake in Japan. An aeroplane accident in New Zealand. A terrorist plot in France. A win or a loss on the sporting field. A coronavirus pandemic. An election result in the United States. Every event is a work of God. A spectacular exhibit in God's art gallery. In all God's works, says the Catechism, and this is a mind-blowing statement, in all God's works, his almighty power and wisdom and goodness and righteousness and mercy and truth is shining forth. In everything that happens in China or in North Korea, in every decision of our Australian and Western Australian parliaments, in all the devastating effects, in the persecution of Christians that go on in Muslim countries, in the social changes that are sweeping across Australia and so many other post-Christian nations, in everything that is happening in your family, regarding your health, everything comes from the hand of God. And in everything, his power and wisdom and goodness and righteousness and mercy and truth are shining forth. And now consider again, what is the purpose of every art gallery? Surely the purpose is that people, they come into the art gallery, they view the works of art, they admire them, and they praise the artist. Surely the purpose of building an art gallery is that people walk through the halls, view the exhibits and say, wow, wow, how excellent. And brothers and sisters, here the Catechism draws our attention to one important reason why God created us human beings. God created us not in the first place to change the world. God did not create us in the first place so that we might make this world become what we think it ought to be. But rather, God created us first to be spectators. To be admiring spectators in his art gallery so that we might glorify, sanctify and praise God in all his works. That means that we might be impressed by everything that God is doing, and that we might say and we might sing, wow, what an awesome God we have. And that's why we must pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That does not mean in the first place, Father, please change the world. It doesn't mean, Father, please change the exhibits because we don't like what we see. No, rather, we confess all of God's wonderful qualities, characteristics, are shining forth in all of God's works. And so we pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means open our eyes and open our hearts. Give us faith. So that even where we see only sin and godlessness, and even when we are disappointed because things that we see are not what we think they ought to be, Grant that we might still respond to the display of your awesome handiwork by sanctifying, glorifying, and praising you. In other words, that we might say, wow, what a God, what a powerful and wise and good and righteous and merciful and truthful God we have. What a God we have. That is our first point. In our second point, we will now see that praying hallowed be your name also means praying that we may increase the holiness of God's name. The Catechism teaches us that we ought to believe that all of God's qualities are shining forth in all of God's works. And then we ought to respond to God's qualities. We ought to respond to God's power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth by sanctifying, glorifying, and praising God, saying, wow. And then the Catechism goes on to say that we also need to think about our neighbours, our Christian neighbours, as well as our unbelieving neighbours. We need to ask ourselves what we say and what we do. How does that affect our neighbours? Obviously, says the Catechism, our thoughts, words, and actions should never cause our neighbours to blaspheme. Instead, we ought to live our whole lives in such a way that our neighbours, our believing neighbours as well as our unbelieving neighbours, should always honour and praise God because of us. Now, to understand this, we go back for a moment to that art gallery. The world of Genesis 1, we just saw, is an art gallery. God is the artist, and we and our neighbours, we are all spectators. And we glorify God when we look at what he's done, and when we say, wow, how impressive. But, beloved congregation, and now it starts to become exciting. Because we can do more for our neighbours than just talk to them about God's creation, about this art gallery which displays God's marvellous qualities. We can do more than that, because in Genesis 1, when God created everything to reveal his glory, what was the crown? What was the supreme jewel of God's creation? What was the ultimate exhibit in God's art gallery? Was it not Adam and Eve? Man and woman created in the image of God? Did Adam and Eve as creatures not display God's power and wisdom, goodness and righteousness, mercy and truth in a much more impressive way than any other creature could? Adam and Eve, the ultimate exhibit. And for this reason, when we pray, hallowed be your name, when we confess that all of creation is an art gallery and every exhibit displays God's qualities, this art gallery includes you and me. You and me, brothers and sisters, we are ourselves exhibits in God's art gallery. You and me, we are displaying the wonderful qualities of the heavenly artist. And this is not new, because we all know that this is sort of true. Every time a baby is born, we stand in awe. Every time we see a baby and we take a moment to think about it, we are amazed at the perfection of God's design, amazed at the glory of God's creative genius. Another child that has eyes that see and ears that hear. Another child that has a heart that beats and a brain that just doesn't stop. On the day when you were born, my brother, my sister, on that day, our Heavenly Father moved you into his art gallery. Every single one of us is a work of art, a very special, a simply unique work of art. Surely, surely, if God wants the world to look at the mountains and the rivers, the flowers and the birds, if God wants the world to see his creative genius shining forth out there, surely God also wants the world to look at you and to look at me and to see in our lives God's creating and recreating genius. God wants the world to look at every single one of us and to see in us his almighty power and wisdom, goodness and righteousness, mercy and truth shining forth. And then God wants them to respond to what they see in us by giving him honour and praise. And this is why Jesus taught us to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means, Father, we are your children and we know you. We understand that you created us to live for your glory, to sanctify and glorify and praise your name. But there are so many people in the world, also here in Southern River, who do not know you. And we understand you also created them for your glory, to sanctify, glorify and praise your name. And so we pray, use us, Father. Use us. Grant that we may direct our whole lives, our thoughts, our words, and our actions in such a way that also these people in Southern River may honour and praise you. And then, beloved congregation, when we do pray from the heart for God's name to be hallowed because of us, and if we try to direct our whole lives so that God's name is hallowed also by our unbelieving neighbours, if we pray and we work, then God will hear our prayer and God will answer us. Indeed, God's name will be hallowed. God's name will be hallowed by our unbelieving neighbours. Because in Revelation 5, John sees in a vision a crowd of angels and living creatures, numbering 10,000 times 10,000. And they all sing together, worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. They sing. And then John sees every creature which is in heaven or on the earth or under the earth or in the sea. John hears them all say, blessing and honour and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb for ever and ever. John sees all creatures. All creatures. Even all unbelieving creatures. Even those who die in their unbelief. John sees them all on their knees, honouring and praising the name of God, regardless of whether today they want to, yes or no. One day they will honour and praise God. And for this reason, beloved congregation, whatever we do to hallow God's name, whatever we say to encourage our neighbours to not blaspheme the name of God, but to honour and praise the name of God instead, whatever we say or do, it will never be wasted. Because in the end, everyone will honour and praise the name of God. Everyone will confess that he is just. And so we will pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means, Father, you made us for a reason, and that was to glorify your name. The world that you created is an art gallery, and it is our calling to see how you are displaying all your qualities in this art gallery. It is our calling to say, wow, and to praise you for all your awesome qualities. So open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may see your works and praise you for them. And even more, Father, teach us to know ourselves, to be exhibits in your art gallery. Because when you want to display your power and wisdom and goodness and righteousness and mercy and truth in all of your works, these works include us. We are the works of your hands. And so it is our calling, our Christian calling, to reveal your greatness in all our thoughts, all our words, and all our actions. So teach us, Father, to direct our whole lives, all our thoughts, words and actions, that our neighbours might also come to know you and honour you and praise you. Father in heaven, you made us for your glory. You sent your Son to the cross for your glory. Now, Father, glorify your name in our lives and in the lives of our neighbours as well. Amen. Thank you. Shall we thank the Lord and pray together? Father in heaven, again we come before your throne in prayer with thanksgiving. We confess before you that we are sinful and weak. We certainly do not understand what you are doing in this world. Father, often we cannot understand what you are doing in our church, or in our family, or in our personal lives either. Father, we don't understand how it is possible that you claim to be infinite in power and wisdom, but there is still so much godlessness in the world. We cannot understand either how you can proclaim yourself to be loving while there is still so much misery and so much pain in this world and in all of our lives. Father, we pray that you will open our eyes, but even more, that you will open our hearts, that we may acknowledge our own weakness and the weakness of our faith, and that we may learn to sing your praises regardless of what we see, regardless of what we experience, and regardless even of how we feel, Father. We pray, watch over us in this coming week. Bless us in every respect of our lives. Give us a true faith, Father, that we may understand and fulfill our calling to rightly know you and to sanctify, glorify and praise you in all your works, in which your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy and truth are constantly shining forth. And grant that we may so direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words and actions, that your name is never, never blasphemed because of us, but always, always honoured and praised. Father, bless the work of Consistory. We pray for our minister, Reverend Poppy. Continue to bless him with all that he needs, that he may preach the gospel to us faithfully Sunday after Sunday. Bless the elders and the deacons. Give them what they need, that they may be faithful in comforting, encouraging, admonishing, supporting us according to our needs. Father, we pray all this because your Son Jesus Christ commanded us to pray all this. So hear our prayer in his name. Amen. You are reminded of the collection this afternoon for Pindari, which will be taken at the door on your way out. Let's praise God with our final song. Let's sing Psalm 150. Thank you. let's lift up our hearts to the Lord, receive his blessing, and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.